This program is brought to you by the partners of A Rood Awakening International. Help others find truth. Support A Rood Awakening International today.
Both Jews and Gentiles have been blinded by man-made rules and regulations. Both sets of rules are completely different, but both have ignored what Yeshua taught. Michael Rood exposes the fatal error of the modern church in an urgent news series. This is going to be episode one of Blindness of the Gentiles, volume two, because it's the end of the sixth day, the sun is set, and this is Shabbat Night Live. Shabbat Shalom, Torah fans. Well, yes, more blinders need to come off. Yes, more cold, hard facts need to be faced. The Gentiles have gone astray from the faith once delivered to the saints, and so have the Jews. So what will it take to bring them both back to the words of Yeshua? Well, tonight we will begin a new episode, a new series, episode one of Blindness of the Gentiles, volume two. And before we get to our special co-host tonight, let's get into the astronomically and agriculturally corrected biblical Hebrew calendar. It is the third Shabbat in the fourth biblical month, and that biblical month is also called Tammuz. Well, to explain this, let's welcome the founder of A Rood Awakening International, Michael Rood.
Thank you, Scott.
Yes, sir.
Yes, the fourth biblical month after Israel, or Judah, really, was taken into Babylon in the 70 years of captivity.
Yes.
In Babylon, that's when they picked up some of these pagan names. The fourth month renamed the month of Tammuz. Well, Tammuz, we read about in Ezekiel 8, that is the reincarnated Nimrod, according to Babylonian sun god worship. Nimrod was hacked to death, and his wife Semiramis said he ascended into heaven, and then quite a while later, she becomes pregnant, but not in a way you might expect. No, she becomes pregnant by the rays of the sun. Her dead husband, Nimrod, has impregnated her, and she brings forth her little baby child on December 25th at the time of the winter solstice on the ancient Babylonian calendar, and this is the birthday of Tammuz, the reincarnated Nimrod. And so with Israel, or Judah, more specifically, Israel had been taken away captive by Shalmaneser much earlier. Now, as we are in Babylon, Judah is in Babylon, when we come back in, we've attached some of these Babylonian names. And this is where we have the modern Babylonian script, the square script of the Hebrew language that comes from Babylon. That was a development in Babylon. Before then, it was a Paleo-Hebrew, and this is the script that is still used by the Samaritans in northern Israel today, the ancient Paleo-Hebrew. But we really got so much that we came out of Babylon with, and so we have to clarify this on the calendar. Okay, we put Tammuz on there, but that's kind of tongue-in-cheek. That's what it is on the Jewish calendar, but we do not, as the Creator says, do not name the names of other gods. Don't do it. Don't let it be heard out of your mouth. He doesn't want them honored or respected in any way. So we put it on there as really as a teaching tool that this is what's on your Jewish calendar, but this is an abomination. And as it says in Ezekiel, the great abomination that has happened, that women were in the temple weeping for Tammuz. Mm. And so
there. So we put it there just for a reference, as we do June and July and the ancient biblical year of
57, June, January, February, March, April, May, June are all pagan gods. July is named after Julius Caesar, August, Caesar Augustus, and then it goes back, September, it goes back to the biblical numbering of months. So even the modern pagan or Gentile calendar that we have harkens back, at least in some of the months, to the numbered months. That's why we have December is the 12th month, but December, Deca, means 10. because it's the 10th biblical month that it corresponds with. So we have all these things mixed in, and so we have to clarify it once in a while.
Well, speaking of mixing, that's why you had to do more episodes on the blindness of the Gentiles, because both Jews and Gentiles are mixed in, and that, you know, when people come out of the church and they figure, you know what, I've been mistaken, I need to look back into the Bible, sometimes they err the other way and they go into rabbinic Judaism.
That's right. And really, when we go into the book of Acts, and this is why it's such a treat for me, is that we are opening the eyes of the Gentiles. But at the same time, we're opening the eyes of the Jews, because this is Yeshua teaching and leading his people by way of the Holy Spirit. And so he sends Peter by revelation, by this vision that he has about eating dog, pig, cat, rat, and bat, and which he refuses. And then he is, by that revelation, sent to the household of Cornelius. Well, this is the first Gentiles that come to the faith. These are complete Gentiles. These are Roman soldiers in the household of some bad Roman soldiers. This is the Italian band, the bodyguard of Caesar that are there. So these are like the pinnacle of Rome and the bodyguards of Rome. And so for them to be brought in, Yeshua has to baptize them with the Holy Spirit, and they speak in tongues, or Peter never would have ever baptized in water these Gentiles, because they hadn't gone through the procedure of rabbinic Judaism. So it is, they are learning to come out of rabbinic Judaism. They are learning the gospel of the kingdom that Yeshua had been teaching all along in the gospels, but they're not getting it. Not all at once. It takes quite a while for them to wake up. And that's why, you know, I don't know when this series on the book of Acts is going to end, because with everything we're doing in the book of Acts, every incident when he goes to Corinth, then we could go into the books of the letters, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and go and dissect this, which is what is really going on. Because Gentiles don't understand what's going on. These are letters written to Gentiles, but they don't understand the Bible. They don't understand the background of the Torah and the prophets to understand what the context is. Just as I say, unless you can find what Paul says in the Torah and in the prophets, unless you can find it where he's quoting from, you don't even have him in context. You don't know what he's talking about unless you can have a command of the Torah and the prophets and go back to it and then see how he is then being the minister, the apostle, the sent one to the Gentiles, and why Yeshua chose him for that very thing.
You know, and that's what that's why you did all of this in front of us here. Really quickly before we go, we want to explain to you that there's a few days left of our buy one, give one for the chronological gospels, and it's exactly what you've been explaining. All of this background is in the chronological gospels, which took you 40 years to compile.
That's right.
And we have that in the larger print version, which a lot of people are appreciating, and also we have the regular size, and we also have the educator's edition.
Yep. Yeah, this is a beauty. Yep. This is how I operate out of it. This one and the larger print. As I get older, yep, I have to have the larger print. But being able to make the notes in it and to go through this, see, this is Yeshua's ministry. Mm. Every detail of it, because it's only when you have his ministry and what he does in context do you understand what's going on. And I've never met a pastor, a theological PhD or THD that understands the gospel, that can even articulate these things that are just, you know, that are fluent with me, because I spent my whole life in it. And most people, they just pull a few numbered sound bites out to do a message on Sunday morning and then go their way and say, this is what this verse means to me. And frankly, I don't care what it means to them. They don't know what they're talking about.
That's right. And that's why I appreciate you did all this. We have a study guide. You have the first and second series of the chronological gospels, television show. It's all right
and
here.
And all this is buy one, get one.
Buy
right?
one, give one.
Give
because
one.
Because we want people to give
that's
away.
That's right. Yep. And this is why we do it, because we are energizing people's individual ministries. You can get to people that I can't get to out there. Mm-hmm. And so these are the tools. This took my whole life to be able to articulate the gospel in this, what was it, I guess 12 episodes, 13 episodes. Mm-hmm. It's been a couple of years since I did it.
Yeah.
And then the Revelation series. Absolutely incredible that we have these things in our hands to show people today.
Thank you, sir, for doing it. I really, really, really appreciate that. All right, well, both Jews and Gentiles have been blinded by man-made rules and regulations, so what will it take to get back to the faith once delivered to the saints? We'll get into the first episode of The Blindness of the Gentiles, Volume 2, but first, get ready for the Kiddush and check out the new love gift. Here it is.
When Yeshua encountered the Samaritan woman at the well, his disciples were shocked. But why? Who were the Samaritans? And what lessons can the mistakes of the Samaritans teach us today about the right way to follow the Almighty? Michael Rood presents The Samaritans, the little-known background story of a Gentile people whose lifestyle serves as a warning for the Christian world today.
You're going to find out, as we dig deeper, exactly where these people are coming from and how they have added to the Torah 267 significant changes so that they have a state religion.
The Samaritans is an exclusive teaching you won't see anywhere online. The only way to get it is to receive it as our gift to say thank you for supporting A Rood Awakening International. Donate a $50 love gift to the ministry and we'll send you this exclusive teaching on DVD or Blu-ray. Or for a donation of $100, we'll send you The Samaritans plus an insulated Shabbat picnic bag bearing the Hebrew name of Yehovah. Or as a special offer for a donation of $300, we'll send you The Samaritans, the insulated Shabbat picnic bag, and a dazzling set of silver-plated bookends featuring a depiction of ancient Jerusalem and the name of the city in both English and Hebrew on the city wall. These gifts are available only in July, and only while supplies last. Get The Samaritans teaching for a love gift donation of $50, the teaching and the insulated Shabbat picnic bag for a donation of $100, or get the teaching, the picnic bag, and the silver-plated bookends depicting ancient Jerusalem for a donation of $300. Hurry, offer ends July 31st while supplies last. Call 888-766-3610. That's 888-766-3610. Or visit monthlylovegift.com.
The Chronological Gospels Bible is changing lives all over the world, putting everything the Messiah did in exact chronological order and explaining the behind-the-scenes truth of what the Messiah did, when he did it, and why. The timing of it all means everything. And now, the Chronological Gospels can be easier on your eyes. The larger print edition features 40% larger type, and every page appears exactly the same as the original, so you can follow along with others who have the regular size version. The Chronological Gospels larger print edition also has wider margins to write notes, and the premium quality paper means you can highlight without soaking through. Plus, the larger print edition lies flat, so you can teach without having to hold the book open. The Chronological Gospels larger print edition is a big and beautiful coffee table book, measuring a full 12 inches tall and 9 inches wide. Study the Bible with clarity and ease.
I love the size of this book. This is 9 by 12. The paper is perfect because it doesn't bleed through when I write on it. I can mark it up, and I always make notes in all my Bibles. Everything is the same place as it is on the smaller version, and I can just stand back and I can teach from it, and it's the perfect size.
I pray thee, of whom speaks this prophet?
Order the Chronological Gospels larger print edition by phone or online. You'll get 40% larger type than the original. Call 800-788-7887. That's 800-788-7887. Or get the Chronological Gospels Bible larger print edition online at aroodawakening.tv/large.
Several years ago, I was in the land of Israel and having Sabbath dinner with a group of Messianic Jews. They brought out the negelvesser, the two-handled pot, and they said this prayer in Hebrew, "Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctified us by your commandments
commanding us concerning the washing of hands. I stopped, I said, this is exactly what Yeshua did not do. He said, this is takanot. This is a commandment that is added by the Pharisees, and Yeshua said, do not follow the takanot and ma'asim of the Pharisees. Don't do what they do, say you're doing it for me. Yeshua said, as often as you do this, this is what you do. You take the bread, and especially on Shabbat, we do this in remembrance of him. Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. This is how Yeshua blessed the Most High, with the very blessing that Melchizedek spoke to Abraham. And Abraham saw Yeshua's day and he rejoiced because he recognized the broken body, and Yeshua said, this is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. And then Yeshua took the cup. And he said, Baruch atah Yehovah, Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, creator of the fruit of the vine. And Yeshua said, this represents the renewed covenant in my blood. As often as you break this bread and you drink this cup and you say this prayer, you recognize that it is all about me. It is all about me, and that you'll be drinking this cup with me in my Father's kingdom. L'chaim. Shabbat shalom. The chronological gospels, the life and 70-week ministry of the Messiah. It took me more than 38 years to be able to put every single incident, more than 300 incidents in the life and ministry of Yeshua of Nazareth in chronological order. 20 of those years living in Israel. And without the context of living in Israel and living in the land and walking the Roman roads between the little villages and the cities where Yeshua was teaching, without that background, I could never have put this together. But 38 years is a short amount of time compared to what it has taken to understand the book of the Acts. It was now 50 years ago that I read the book of the Acts of the Jewish Apostles. And when I read it, I understood that this is already in chronological order. This is not like the four gospels where you have the equivalent of four different cameramen that are focusing in on the same single event, but yet they're recording all of these incidents from different perspectives. And so when you put the entire picture together, when you edit the picture to put it together to where it is all in order, then you have cause and effect. You have an understanding of what Yeshua was teaching, why he was teaching, to whom he was teaching. And all of these things are essential to understand the narrative. I have never met one person that has understood the narrative of the Gospels and could speak it with any amount of reasonable articulation. But this has been my life, to be able to understand these things and to put it in order. I can tell Yeshua's ministry, I can give you the gist of the entire gospel record in 5 minutes, in 50 minutes, or in 5 hours. I have sat on a plane and I've gone through and enumerated the first incidents in his ministry. And by the time the plane landed, I had gone through the first 99, written them down from memory of exactly what transpired during Yeshua's ministry. But this didn't happen overnight. I have read the Gospels hundreds and hundreds of times. Alexander Scorby has been my companion in reading the King James Version of the Bible to me while I'm awake, while I'm asleep, and this has gone on for literally decades and decades.
And now I am dealing with the book of the Acts of the Jewish Apostles. And this has taken even longer. This has taken 50 years to put this together, even though the Acts of the Jewish Apostles, this book is in chronological order already. It is, it's there, it's in order, but yet to get the context of what is going on in the Acts of the Jewish Apostles as we see the birth of the Messianic movement and those who are following Yeshua being led by the Spirit with the gift of the Holy Spirit given on the day of Pentecost, this changes the world. And the book of Acts has not ended. There's no amen at the end of the book of the Acts because we are still living in this generation. In this, as Yeshua said, I am going to be in you and I'm going to be working with you clear to the end of the age. And this end of the age has not transpired yet. So this has been an exciting adventure to begin to reveal the details in the book of Acts. And at this point, this blindness of the Gentiles, as I have called the overall scope of this teaching on the book of Acts, the blindness of the Gentiles, because blindness in part has happened to Israel, but blindness to the Gentiles is so profound, and especially in this generation where we are right now. People no longer read the Bible. They don't study the Bible. We are given movies and we think that that's somehow giving us the story. We watch these Bible stories and this is the modern day flannel graph of Sunday school portraits that are now done in high definition, but yet everything that has been done concerning the Gospels is so one-sided. It is just one picture. We have the Gospels told by Matthew. Then we have another movie, the Gospels as according to Mark, or according to Luke, according to John. And unless you put all these together and edit them all together, you don't get the context. And this is what I've been attempting to do for you. And so this is why I'm encouraging you to get the chronological Gospels and to read it, to spend time and let the movie play out. Words are pictures. And if you will let the movie play out and you will read the words of each one of these gospel authors as they tell the story, and I put it in context, I give you the dates according to the biblical calendar, according to the Julian calendar, according to the days of the week. I give you the entire context so that you can see the progression of events and you can literally play the movie in your mind. Hollywood will never do this for you. They could never afford to do it. But you can afford to do it because the movie script is populated with the characters of your own imagination. And not that they have been imagined by you, it's just that you read the scriptures, you let the words develop the pictures, and then you let the screenplay play out. And this is what I've attempted to begin doing with the book of the Acts of the Jewish Apostles. So to get through the second chapter, through the day of Pentecost, we have taken, I believe, 9 episodes to get to this point. But ladies and gentlemen, this is really a shortcut, because it took me 50 years to be able to see what I see in it and to live this thing out for the last 50 years, attempting to do my best to be obedient and to understand these things that I read 50 years ago. And it was such a compelling thing. As I read the book of the Acts, I'm seeing it is already there. It is already in chronological order.
And I am saying the power of God that is being accessed, being tapped into by these first century believers that I had never seen in my entire life of, at that point, going to church for 17 years. And I was in church every time the doors were open, we were there. That was our life. And yet, when I was 17 years of age, I read the book of Acts and something changed. At that point, the words became a movie that was playing out, and I was seeing the movie play out. And I was so enthralled by this, and I knew that somehow this had to be available today. That the power of God, that our God is still alive today. I could see the book of Acts did not end. I could see that we are still in that time frame, but yet I had never seen any of the power of God accessed or revealed or manifested through the church system in which I was born and raised. Now, I have to admit, I was raised as a Baptist Jew. My mother took us to Baptist church. My father never darkened the doorstep of either church or synagogue, but my mother continued to pray for him. And then when my father finally did go to church, it was a life-changing experience for him. It was something that so transformed his life. He came home and poured out all of his liquor into the kitchen sink. I remember staying there watching him do that, bottle after bottle of some very nice liqueurs and liquors, and because this is what you did as a Baptist. He quit smoking, he quit drinking, and he immediately checked into Grand Rapids Baptist Bible College to learn Hebrew, because that is what he knew that he had to do. And so that was the change that happened in my father's life, but it was about 10 years after that, that as I was reading the book of Acts, and I was seeing the power of God alive in these people's lives, I knew that this was real. I knew it was real, even though I had not seen it before. And so this is where it all started. That summer, after reading the book of Acts, then I went to Grand Rapids, to the theater there, for the 70-millimeter broadcast of the film version of Fiddler on the Roof. And when I watched that movie, I was so compelled, I knew that I had missed something my entire life. You know, I recall as my grandmother, 5 years earlier, took me upstairs, up into the attic portion of the old farmhouse and showed me the pictures of my father's ancestors, all these bearded men from Amsterdam, and her telling me the story of how our ancestors, my ancestors, she was not related to me, it was my grandfather's second wife, but nonetheless, she was my grandmother, and she told me the story of our family. And it was then, and when I was watching Fiddler on the Roof, that I knew I had missed something my entire life. And so that is where I started going back to the Hebrew roots of my faith, to the Jewish roots somewhat first, but then to clarify, to understand that there is a difference between Israel and then the Jewish roots or the Pharisee roots of the faith. And so these are things that I began to be able to separate from and to understand as I read through the book of the Acts and as I lived in Israel, lived among my relatives in Israel and would be taking part in bar mitzvahs and in weddings and all of the things that are part of the Orthodox way of life. I was invited into that world to observe, to be a part of it, but yet there was still a separation because they knew that I was messianic. And so there were certain regulations that I had to follow and certain tables that I couldn't sit at and things like that just because of the Pharisee rules and regulations that I was now going to be able to understand. And in that understanding, finally realized that the Gospels is the record of Yeshua deliberately and vehemently violating over and over and over the manufactured, the man-made rules and regulations, the dogmas, the commandments of men, the takanot, the invented laws of the Pharisees, the rules and regulations they invented, Yeshua was deliberately breaking, deliberately violating these things. And that helped me to understand the gospel of the kingdom much more than I could have ever done by staying in America and continuing to learn in America. I had to go over and immerse myself in that world so that I could make the distinction. And this is a distinction that is not being made today, ladies and gentlemen. I see people that are, I call them gynos, Jews in name only. They basically have been, like I, raised in the Baptist church or come to faith in the Christian world, sometimes charismatic, sometimes Baptist, sometimes Lutheran, sometimes Catholic, but they're Jewish, but they've never been raised in that culture. And then what they do is they want to feel more Jewish, and so they take on the accoutrement, the things of Pharisaic Judaism that helped them feel more Jewish because they weren't raised in that world. And I see them do these completely Jewish, completely Pharisee things, though they say they're messianic, but yet they're following what the Pharisees do. And Yeshua said very plainly in Matthew 23, said, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Whatsoever he says, do, but do not follow the takanot and maasim of the Pharisees, for they say they follow Moses, but they don't do what Moses says to do. That's what it says in the Hebrew Matthew. Our King James is, a translation from the Greek, and the Greek completely missed it. I detail this in the chronological gospel so that you can understand and make a separation between rabbinic Judaism and the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And this is what we're going to see as we go through the book of the Acts. We are going to see that there are Pharisees who become believers. There's a great company of the priests that become believers. They are Zadokim, they are priests in the temple. There are Pharisees in the synagogues who become believers, but they do not leave their rabbinic mishigas behind immediately. No, they try to put their rabbinic rules and regulations upon the Gentiles, as they had been doing for centuries. See, for a Gentile to become Jewish, to become a proselyte, there are all sorts of rules and regulations. There are things that they have to go through. They had to appear before a rabbinic court and confess that Moses gave us the seven Noahide laws. That's part of what Gentiles have to do. That is complete nonsense, ladies and gentlemen, but this is what we see happening in the book of Acts. And so I am going to take you through the book of Acts to understand why there is blindness among the Gentiles, why there is blindness among the Jews, but the blindness of the Jews is going to be removed. The blindness of the Gentiles has come upon them because of their non-adherence to the teachings of Yeshua. Not understanding what Yeshua taught, not understanding the gospel of the kingdom, and that is why the Gentiles have been blinded. They have been blinded by religion because Rome inculcated all of the pagan sun god worship from Rome and Babylon into this new church state religion, the Roman Catholic empire, the Roman Catholic Church, and it's basically pagan sun god worship filtered through Rome and Babylon and then mixed in with a little bit of the Bible, and this is what we inherited. I have done an entire series on the Second Reformation, and this is where we still are, ladies and gentlemen, because the First Reformation only scratched the surface. We need to dig deeper. And this is what I promise for those of you who are willing to go on this journey with me. Now, it took me 50 years. I can give you a 50-year shortcut, but maybe it's only a 49-year shortcut. Maybe it's only 48 years. I don't know how long we're going to go into this, but if you really desire to tap into the power of God in your life and to live the book of Acts, then we are gonna have to spend some time. We're gonna have to search these things out. Because I long for the day that people lie against the Holy Spirit and lie against the men who represent the Holy Spirit and stand for the word of God, and they drop dead like Ananias and Sapphira. I long for those days when there's that kind of clarity, but if that kind of clarity was happening right now, I think there would be so many dead people, there'd be very few to bury the bodies right now. So we have got to get our act cleaned up. We have got to come back and earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints that we read about in the book of Acts. And if you'll take this journey with me, then we'll be in the final chapters that the angels, the scribes in heaven, are writing down about what happened at the end of the age as these people, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, continuing to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. We're gonna be adding to that book, and the scribes in heaven are gonna be adding to that book, and our names will be in that book. I would like to pick up where we left off, and really, this is exactly where I am with the Chinese. Every week I do a 2-hour live broadcast with Paul Shea into China, into Taiwan, into Hong Kong. We are broadcasting into the Chinese-speaking world, and we have, I believe this is our fourth week, and we have already caught up to where we took 9 weeks to do in English. And here we are in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 36. Everyone, please take your King James version of the Bible, if you will. Please don't bring any of these New Age versions or these limp versions into this. We want to understand proper English. We want to understand that the most direct route back into the original text is done through the King James version of the Bible. That at least is in English. There are German versions of the Bible that are very direct links that go back and take you right back into the Greek and back into the Hebrew. But in English, the King James Version will always be the best. And thankfully, the King James Version, I think it was like 20 years, I can't remember exactly, 23 years after it was first translated in 1611, that the scholar said, we need you to go back and to italicize the words and the phrases that you added to attempt to clarify things. Because they added words in that were not in the text at all because they wanted to clarify things, but sometimes their clarification completely threw a monkey wrench in the whole thing and completely destroyed any possibility of understanding it correctly because of these words that they added. And so at least they came back and italicized some of them. And we are going to dig into some of these during this session right now, if we get there. So take your King James version of the Bible and turn to Acts chapter 2 And in verse 36, we'll begin. I'll give you a second to get there. Therefore, let all that, wait, let's just stop right there. Therefore, you have to ask the question, when you see the word therefore at the beginning of a sentence or in the sentence a little bit, because when it's in the sentence, you know, a few words later, and I see the word therefore, what I do is I take that word and I bring it right back to the beginning of the sentence. Therefore, because we have to understand the words therefore and wherefore in the King James Version. And so we say this, this is what we learn in theological seminary. Why for the wherefore, what's the therefore, therefore? When you see the word wherefore, it means why. This is the reason why. So some form of why, or the reason being for, okay? That's the wherefore. It always implies the why. But therefore, you ask what's the therefore, therefore, it's because of everything that has preceded. And so let's just get a quick capsulization of this word therefore, because here we are in, it is on the day of Pentecost. And so we have to start out with the therefore, and we go back to the 14th of the month of the Aviv and the day the Passover sacrifice. Yeshua is hanging on the cross. He is put in the grave before sunset on that day, which is Wednesday. He's in the grave 3 days and three nights and raised on the third day, according to the scriptures, which is on the weekly Sabbath. And then at sunset, it is then the day of the first fruits, and Yeshua raises the first fruits whose graves were marked when he cried with a loud voice, "It is finished." And when he arose, then he raised those. He is the resurrection. He is the one that brought them back to life. The Father has put the power of the resurrection and all judgment into the hands of the Son. And this is his first act after his resurrection, is to raise the dead, the first fruits, on the day of first fruits. Then the following morning, Sunday morning, the first day of the week, this is when he appears to Miriam at the garden, and he tells her, "Don't touch me, I've not yet ascended to my Father in heaven." Then he said, "Go tell my disciples, I now ascend to my God and their God, and then meet me in the Galilee, where I told them before to meet me." And so then Yeshua takes the first fruits, presents them before the Father's throne, just as the first fruit offering was presented in the temple, but now he takes the first fruit saints and then presents them before the throne in heaven, and that is the first fruit offering. These are the first fruit saints. These are the 24 elders that are introduced in the book of the Revelation. Remember, the book of the Revelation is what puts together all of the order of all of the prophets and the prophecies, and is the culmination of Yeshua, who is then revealed as both the Messiah and as the Judge, as Yehovah Tzevaot, who rules the earth with a rod of iron. And it gives us the detail of everything that the prophets have spoken, and we will be dealing with some of these as we go through the book of Acts. And so it is then that the 24 elders are presented before the throne. That is the day of the first fruits. From that day, we count seven Sabbaths, and then the day after the seventh Sabbath is the day of Shavuot, Pentecost. Now, after the resurrection, that is when Yeshua told his disciples, "All power in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in my name." That's what the original says in Matthew chapter 28 in verse 18 and 19. Doesn't say in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. That is not in any text. Eusebius quoted it 19 times. It is always, and all that were there did exactly what he said, baptized in his name. Identification with Yeshua, with his death, with his burial and resurrection. You're to teach them and to baptize them in my name. He that believes and is baptized, he that hears and obeys and is baptized, he shall be saved. He that believes not is going to be judged, is going to be judged. This is what Yeshua said. And they said, teach them, verse 20, to observe everything I commanded you, and I will be working with you and through you. And in you, I've added those words, working with you, in you and through you, even to the end of the world. No, it's the end of the age. So this is what the therefore is there for. So at the time of the ascension, 10 days before Shavuot or Pentecost, this is what he says, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. Something has changed. And we're going to read about it right in here. Therefore, okay, something has changed. So Yeshua has now ascended up into heaven. Two angels appear to the apostles and say, the same Yeshua that you saw us go up into heaven, he shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. He will come back in the clouds. This will be the fulfillment of what Yeshua said, that you'll see the Son of Man coming in the power, in the clouds and the power of his glory. Yeshua, that was the clincher. When he was brought to trial, he said to the high priest, after this you are going to see me coming back with a power and in the clouds of heaven. He's quoting right from Daniel. And this is what the angels are saying too. You're gonna see him coming in like manners you've seen him go. He's going to be coming in power, but not yet. Yeshua's just told them, go back to Jerusalem and wait until you are endued, clothed with power from on high. And so they go back into Jerusalem. And instead of waiting, they decide that they're going to choose someone to replace Judas, even though they were not told to do so. They choose Matthias, and he's mentioned once in the scripture. In Acts chapter 2, it says Peter standing up with the 11. That is including Matthias, Matthias. And so that's the only time that he's mentioned in the book of Acts after he's chosen to replace Judas. He's one of the 11. Never is his name mentioned again. But we're going to see someone whose name is mentioned in the book of the Acts, and someone that Yeshua meets on a road and interrupts his life dramatically. And we're gonna read about him a lot in the book of Acts, because he is the one who is going to be chosen to minister to the Gentiles. Even though Peter is the first one that's going to minister to the Gentiles, Peter is not going to have the understanding, the full understanding and the background to minister to the Gentiles like one Shaul is going to be. And this is going to be an exciting adventure when he is introduced and we see this into the picture. So, therefore, let all the house of Israel know. This is Peter on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one place with one accord. They were all in the house of prayer as they had been rehearsing every year of their lives. Hundreds of thousands of people were there at Jerusalem for the Feast of Shavuot, called Pentecost in the book of Acts. Pentecost is Greek. It is a Feast of Shavuot, the Feast of Sevens, after counting seven Sabbaths. Then the next day is the fullest, it's the 50th day, the Pentecosta, and that is when they are all in Jerusalem as required in the Torah, and they have come there, and then it appeared to them, just as you see this behind me, it appeared to them, a pillar of fire cleaving off, cloven tongues cleaving off onto each one of them, and it appeared to them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all plato, filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And this is important to understand this word plato. It is not plerao, filled to capacity, that it is plato. They are filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And when you are filled to overflowing, there will always be a manifestation of the Spirit, an evidence of the Spirit. And on the day of Shavuot, what was that evidence? They all spoke with tongues. And what was this? All the people that came from all these surrounding countries heard these Galileans speak in their native tongue the wonderful works of God. And so others, there were those who understood because they were speaking in the dialect of the Syrophoenicians, for instance, or for the those over in Persia. And so those people from that area understood it, but the people from Judea, they didn't understand this Persian language. The people from Rome didn't understand that. And so they were confused and they said, what is this all about? Because everyone heard them speak in their own language the wonderful works of God, but yet there were those who didn't understand because they didn't understand that dialect of that language which that one apostle perhaps was speaking to that group from Persia. And so they said, what's going on here? We don't understand what is happening here. And others were mocking and said, these men are full of sweet wine, glucose wine, fortified wine, brandy. And Peter stood up with the 11, which includes Matthias, and said, these men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But that is like that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. And so he quotes the prophet Joel, and speaking of the latter rain outpouring, which takes place after the big war that initiates the day of vengeance of our God, in which Israel is brought to the brink of destruction, and Almighty God fights for Israel, and after that, the double portion outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and he tells about that prophecy, and he says, this is that. This is like that. It's not this is exactly that, but this is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, just like Joel prophesied that these people will be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is why it is like that. It is not the end time fulfillment of that. It is just the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Just as Joel speaks of the latter rain, this is the early rain. This is the early rain. We recall when Yeshua said on the last great day, Hoshana Rabbah, when they did the water libation, he said that this very thing, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Now, in parentheses, it says in John, this spake he of the Spirit which would afterward would be given, but the Spirit was not yet given because he was not yet glorified. But when the Holy Spirit was given, when he was glorified, when he was raised from the dead and glorified and seated at the right hand of the Father and shed forth the Holy Spirit, it wasn't on Hoshana Rabbah, the last great day, it was on Shavuot. It was the time of the early rain. Now the latter rain speaking, which Joel details, that comes at the time of Hoshana Rabbah, the fulfillment of the latter rain outpouring on the last great day, which takes place in the day of Yehovah, the day of vengeance of our God, after the big war in which the Ark of the Covenant is revealed and the Tabernacle of David is rebuilt. All these prophecies will come to pass And that is what we are looking for. So this therefore, now he says, these are not drunk. No, this is the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on and details how David had prophesied these things. And these things that they had done as part of the temple liturgy for every one of the feasts of the Lord, he then gives them the detail of how David had prophesied exactly what they have seen, that his son, the Messiah, would not be rotting in the grave, his body would not see corruption, but that God would raise him from the dead. And these prophecies, they were all familiar with from a youth. They were the psalms that were sung in the temple liturgy for every one of the feasts, and they understood it. And when they understood, they were cut to the heart because they realized that it had been fulfilled.